Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Horizons VR video conference call to discuss full year and Q4 2022 financial results. This video conference call is being recorded and the replay can be accessed on the company's website at horizonvr.com.br/ri. The presentation is also available for download. We'd like to inform you that all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the video presentation. After that, we will open for Q&A when further instructions will be provided. Before we proceed, let me stress that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Horizon VR management and current information available to the company. These statements may involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors, analysts, and journalists should note that events related to the macroeconomic environment, to the industry, and other factors may cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Joining today's video conference call, Mr. Milton Pilão, CEO, and Mr. Leonardo Santos, CFO and IRO. Now I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Pilão, who will start the presentation. Mr. Pilão, you can proceed. Good morning, everyone. Sorry for starting a little bit late. We had some technical issues. First of all, thank you for joining us this morning. So we will share Q4 2022 financial results together with the consolidated results for 2022. In order to start, just a very brief introduction talking about 2022. It was certainly a historical and transformative year for the company. We were able to consolidate what we call our renewable platform. We have eco parks. You can see on the left-hand side, we have nine landfills from our base, and we added five. And as for the Bio-e and energy and renewable gas, we were able to start operations in July of 2022. This is our first proprietary gas and renewable energy production. And as for circular economy, what you see in the middle, we were also open to open our first mechanized sorting facility at our eco park in Jaboatão dos Guararapes in Recife. And we also kicked off a partnership that has strengthened in the first quarter of 2023. Our first plant that produces green fertilizers coming from a sludge. And also a partnership that we established with Sabesp in the last quarter of last year with a waste-to-energy unit. So in addition to the strong growth, new eco parks that were added, I'd like to start by sharing this renewable platform, this business model that you can see on your screen. Is what we are going to follow from now on. And to promote the development of each division with its unique expertise and benefiting from its own opportunities. Now let's go over the last quarter of 2022. I'd like to highlight the Q4 issues. So let me start. The first one, the acquisition or the closure of a UPI Maceió. So that was really the last step that we needed, and we received the approval for closing this deal. So that happened in December of 2022. This landfill today receive 65,000 tons of waste per month. And today, that is very important for the municipality of Maceió. And the concession term goes to 2030, and it may be extended to 2050. Besides that, in accounts receivable, we also have an estuary, 120 million BRLs, which is a debt of the municipality of Maceió. And today we are already negotiating that in order to achieve balance, especially by extending the term of that consumption. So we are now dealing and negotiating the extension of the concession term, because this UPI can certainly be active beyond 2050. And some optionalities, energy, biomethane, biogas, carbon credits, and recycling unit, which we should implement soon. Besides that, with the acquisition of SPE, the company also increased our private capital, and we were able then to pay the amounts that were due with 8,181,000 shares. And that was concluded in February 2023. Another highlight for this quarter was the acquisition of the Porto Velho Ecopark. As I had mentioned, we set up a center for promoting this development, and although we closed the deal in January of 2023, we started negotiations in 2022. So today, we have already closed this deal, so we already own this landfill with a capacity of 1,000 tons per day, and that can serve a population of more than 800,000 inhabitants. And Porto Velho is one of the last capitals in Brazil that does not have a landfill. So this is an asset with a useful life of 35 years, and we expect to start its operations in April. It's ready to have operations starting in April. And just as in Cuiabá, we also expect its ramp up to take place throughout 2023, because as soon as we open our doors, all the open waste areas will be closed. And finally, another highlight from the last quarter is the alienation of 20% of URE Barueri to Sabesp. I think it's worthy mentioning this again. This is a 40 million BRL account, transaction rather. So this was established via PPP with the municipality of Barueri. And what we see back to back, we are already making energy available, so for 20 years at 600 BRLs per megawatt hour, per hour, with a waste volume of 870 tons per day and installed capacity of 20 megawatts. So Sabesp joined us in this partnership, and I think that it's a synergistic partnership, be it by the exchange of know-how and technology, be it by optimizing costs of input, be it because of its strategic location that is connected to the RTE from Sabesp. So we have the possibility of increasing our gains by treating sludge coming from Sabesp, not to mention the partnership. And we know that Sabesp has expressed interest in adding value to waste in São Paulo. So this partnership can certainly produce some other benefits to us. So these are the highlights for that quarter. Now let's talk about numbers. Once again, we set many all-time records, not only for the fourth quarter, but also for 2022. So let me talk about the non-financial KPIs. As for waste, you can see on the left-hand side the volume of waste year over year for the last quarter. And you can see that it's not the waste that we received in 2021. Actually, in order to support our investors for 2021, we considered waste coming from the same units. In order to compare the quarters year over year, we considered the same units just in order to measure whether there was an increase in waste. You can see there was a 5% increase year over year and 1% quarter over quarter. So this 5% increase year over year. And if we consider only the original assets, you can see that we had this increase year over year, and it goes beyond the metric because we usually say that the waste volume increases organically beyond some other numbers. So you can see here the organic volume year over year, a 5% increase. When you go over fourth quarter, you can see 2.2 million tons per quarter, 8.8 million per year, against 4.6, 4.7 tons of waste in 2021. So you can see the ramp up in the volume of waste in the 14 assets that we have, and the potential is much bigger. We expect to reach approximately 11 million ton, considering the same assets, when all of them achieve its maturity. As for carbon credit generation and also average biogas generation, obviously we see an increase in both. For the fourth quarter of 2022, our carbon credit generation improved because of projects such as the one in Paulínia, where we were able to already install the biogas plant. And also it's used at our UTE Paulínia. So you can see that led to increase in carbon credit. This should increase much more. We are now running some certification process, so some carbon credits will be generated in the future. Same for biogas. Biogas was only implemented in Paulínia, but that already represents a 40% increase, a quarter over quarter. But we have already acquired some other biogas units, and we know that we will see a very strong ramp up of biogas production in 2023. Now let's talk about our numbers. As for net revenue, we can see an increase, and it's very important to consider the normalized carbon credit, because in 2022 we did not consider carbon credits because of the process of migration that they are undergoing now. And we decided to take this decision because now they are moving from LMDL to the golden standard. And now this process is almost being concluded, and that should be now concluded this year. So this year we will then consider carbon credits from 2022 and 2023, because this migration will take place by the end of the first quarter. But in order to really have a good understanding, we considered carbon that was effectively generated multiplied by the last price that we, the price that we sold last. And we were awaiting for this migration. And if I'm not mistaken, the last time we sold and we have a price for that is in June, was in June of 2022. So you can see a 65% increase in our annual revenue, achieving 720 million as net revenue, pro forma net revenue. It's certainly an all-time record, coming mainly from the new assets with regard to EBITDA. Just as we shared in previous quarters, we have what we call EBITDA running, which is the adjusted EBITDA. So four adjustments. First, regarding pro forma carbon credit, 23 million. Also, adjustment regarding depreciation of UTE Paulínia. There was a change in the accounting criteria, whereas the asset had an unlimited term, and now we set that to be the end of the contract. So that had an impact of depreciation. This is a seasonal impact. So we make adjustments to the term that is not part of this quarter, so 6.2 million. Besides that, we also make adjustments of the loss coming from the asset ramp up. We're talking about three assets, two UTMs, the first one that was that to which we had already foreseen the loss because it was already in the ramp up phase. Also, because of the Paulínia, we know that that is also undergoing its production management, and also Barueri. Well, we ended that contract in on December 31st, and that also generated loss, but that will no longer happen. So these are the corrections. And also Maceió, if I'm not mistaken, it was added on December 15th. So this 3.7 million accounts for the quarterly result for Maceió, so that we can come to the pro forma adjusted EBITDA. And that's how we have already been sharing that number with you. So just to show you how EBITDA running is right now. So last EBITDA running was 93 million, and now it's 101,772,000. But if you multiply that by four, you can see that the company is already operating with the annualized EBITDA of 410 million BRLs. And the EBITDA running that I share here does not include the maturity of different assets that such as Cuiabá. So for this quarter, we still operated with low volume of waste. And in the first quarter of 2023, we virtually doubled the amount of waste in Cuiabá. So we will see maturity in 2023. Porto Velho, Aparecida de Goiânia, our unit in Sorocaba that we also received from Estre, and we also carried out some operating changes, and that affected our results in the fourth quarter of 2022. But now in 2023, it's already operating at maturity level. So I usually say that this 101 million pro forma EBITDA running is still undergoing changes because they have not still expressed its full potential. Besides that, now let's move to 2022 EBITDA. Once again, adjusting only for carbon credits and normalized carbon credit produced in 2022, and the same adjustment that I mentioned before with regard to depreciation in Paulínia. Our adjusted EBITDA for 2022, BRL 312,425. Compared to 390 in 2021. So if we compare both, we will see an increase by 76% of our EBITDA year over year. Next, our CapEx. I believe that this is the focus of our investors. So we decided to share this slide because I believe that it's very helpful to all of you. So last year, our CapEx achieved 197 million. Out of that, 131 million regards expansion investment, and that included biomass and bioenergy plants, also new biogas plants for all landfills that we acquired, and also some leachate treatment stations that we also acquired. So they represent expansion investment. So that will certainly bring long-term benefits. And also recurring investment accounted, well, 65 million BRLs for recurring investment. So if we divide that by the 14 assets, so 11 million tons, we will see recurring CapEx that is less than 5.8 BRL per ton. So this is a number that we always like to share with you. So demonstrating that our CapEx is aligned to our expectations and also to our history. Now let's talk to you about net income. A little bit complex. So here we have costs and expenses, including cost of finance without the cash effect. So it's always important to add color to that whenever you see a negative company and you see a company that generates cash on its day-to-day. So first point I'd like to highlight, and I'll give you some examples, and obviously we can discuss that later on. So we have the non-cash impact of delivering shares to Jive. We had already scheduled that, and when we actually delivered the shares valued more. So obviously that has an impact on the company. And we also have the impact of depreciation. So just so that all of you understand, the depreciation that is in this statement is, well, for 2021, 51 million, for 2022, 140 million BRLs. So this is a non-cash effect, but it certainly has impact when you see that the company has a 65 million as of recurring expenses. And you can also see the carbon credit issue. So it's not going to be expressed in our EBITDA and not in our net income. Another important point is the interest rate, and that will of our acquisitions and greenfields. Today, the interest rate. Is applied on acquisitions and greenfields that have not that are not generating cash yet. I like to always make some math. I like to do some math. So we have 102 million BRLs of EBITDA running. And for these assets, we have 65 or 65 recurring CapEx, and also some 120, 150 million BRLs of cost of finance, and approximately 60 million BRLs of taxes. So the bottom line of this company, when you consider the non-cash items, well, we should have much more than 120, 130 million BRL. But we know that for this year, we had impact coming from acquisitions and non-cash effect. Now, let me talk to you about capital structure and our indebtedness. So we always talked about not having our pro forma EBITDA above 3. So just as you can see here, we see the leverage of 2.7, the running rate, leverage of 2.07. And I think that it's important to mention that for us, it's good news that we are 0.3 points below 3, and perhaps in the worst moment that we could be regarding leverage. In the fourth quarter of 2022, we actually acquired many units, and they were still not part of our consolidated financial statement. So I believe that leverage that we have today is at very healthy levels. And our cash position, December 31st, 241 million BRLs. So we have also anticipated in November of last year a potential worsening of the credit market. And you all remember that we issued debentures for 100,000 BRLs, and that also extended our debt. With that, we decreased the pressure on our cash for 2023. And so we anticipated that. So it strengthened our cash, it extended the length of the debt. And we did that before interest rates actually increased, as we see today in the market, in the Brazilian market. So we got that right. Finally, let me talk to you about growth, our growth highlights, and then we will open for questions. First, inorganic growth. I'm always asked about company's position regarding acquisitions in 2023. Well, for 2023, we will only consider opportunistic acquisitions without putting pressure on our cash. So our priority regarding cash will be to develop biomethane projects, considering the assets that we acquired in the past, particularly considering return on investment and also interest rate levels in Brazil. So we do not intend to pursue acquisitions that will have strong impact on our cash position. So we may consider small acquisitions. And when I talk about opportunistic acquisitions, I'm talking about Porto Velho, Cuiabá, so in which we did not have to use our cash, but that will bring good returns. So that's what I mean when I say opportunistic acquisitions. So this is the company's strategy regarding acquisitions. But the major focus will be organic growth. And that will happen considering two pillars. First, maximization of results of our assets that we have acquired. So once again, our running EBITDA of 101 million BRLs. And when we see this chart, demonstrating optionalities, so eco parks, bio-e, mechanized sorting, and green fertilizers. So we have gains. We in every single area. First, at eco parks, for example, we have many eco parks that have not achieved its maturity regarding how much waste they can receive, and that will certainly improve our EBITDA by adding Cuiabá, Porto Velho, Aparecida de Goiânia, and some others that are in the ramp-up phase. Besides that, we also have gains coming from carbon credits that we will start to produce biogas assets that were acquired. Right now, we just produce biogas in Paulínia. And in 2023, we expect to start producing biogas in every single new asset. And that will also contribute with carbon credit related to the production of biogas, not biogas itself, because we will have to wait till 2024 when we have bio-e up fully up operational. And we also need to consider some the addition of other leachate treatment stations that we have acquired. So that means that we have 30 to 50 BRLs as EBITDA on top of the 100 mil that are not mature yet, considering all these different divisions. So when I talk about maximizing, what I want to say is that we will increase our EBITDA running without having to acquire new units. Besides that, and finally, we have the Bio-e. That was already shared with our shareholders. So the production of biomethane in order to transform biogas. And our focus is also to finalize our capital structure that will allow us to invest 1.3 million BRLs on Bio-e over the next 13 months. Well, I think this is what I had to share with you. So now let's open for questions. Once again, I'd like to thank you all for joining us this morning and for your patience in being here and listening to us. And I'm available to entertain your questions. Thank you. So now let's start our Q&A session for investors and analysts. If you want to ask a question, please press the raise hand button. And if your question has been answered, just click on the same button to lower your hand. So, first question comes from Rafael Nagano, Credit Suisse. Please, Mr. Nagano, go ahead. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. One is about average price for the final destination of waste, and for that quarter, it was a little bit lower than the previous quarter. Actually, in the so I'd like to know why did that happen? Why we saw this decrease in the fourth quarter? And which would be a normalized level? Is it going to go up again, or do you expect it to go down? And the second question is about Jaboatão. So I'd like to know just if you can give us an update of that unit ramp up. What about its total capacity? Hello, Rafael. This is Leo. Well, good morning, everyone. So I will answer your first question, and I'll ask Pilão to answer your second question. With regard to average price, there was this slight drop because of the mix. There was this natural differentiation depending on the type of waste. So this is small variation considering the waste mix. We also had some price increase that took place last year. And we negotiated with our clients, and we expect to finalize some negotiations this quarter or in April. So that will certainly have an impact on the previous quarter too, but this will certainly support us in 2023. So I would say two factors. The waste mix, also considering the location of our clients, and also some assets that were not considered in the fourth quarter, but that will be added with retroactive impact. But they will certainly support us in the first, second quarter of 2023. With regard to the sorting unit in Jaboatão, the UTM. We expect it to start its mature operations in July, from July 2023. So now we are running its commissioning and ramp up. And just as I mentioned in some other occasions, I'd like to say that today it's operating at levels that we had already forecast regarding sorting and revenue. So we have already produced millions of tons of plastic that has already been sold. And if you remember, there's also learning regarding training and also the expertise of our team at the plant. So we had to train our people. And that is what we are doing right now during the commissioning phase. So we have three shifts. So you first have the first shift, train the operators, then you add the second shift, and then you add the third shift. So that's how long it takes for you to have it operating 24/7. But we will see an improvement in our KPIs once it starts to operate full time. What we see is that it's meeting our expectations regarding results it's providing, and starting July of 2023, it will contribute more to our results as we had forecast before it was actually built. Thank you very much. Our next question comes from Julia Zaniolo with Santander. Julia, please go ahead. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I have some questions. First, regarding the negotiation of contract in Porto Velho, do you have any idea about the average price that you are going to have there? And second, about some news regarding contracts signed with Copergás to sell biogas regarding Jaboatão. And how will that operation look like? Do you intend to have a thermal plant? And how much CapEx do you expect? Can you please add some color regarding that? Hello, Julia. This is Leo. Thank you for your questions. Well, as for Porto Velho, it will be very similar to what we have in some other areas. So, when you do not have the proper destination of waste, so when you have a landfill or a proper place as an option, obviously the waste will migrate and also that open dumps will be closed. So then government agencies and private organizations come to talk to us. And this is what we expect to happen in 2023. With regards to average price, we expect to have it above what we have in Orison. In Cuiabá, we have a very similar scenario. And in Porto Velho, the shortage is even bigger. So we expect to have a higher average price. As for biomethane and the agreement with Copergás, we did not consider it to be a material fact because we still need to negotiate some parts of the contract. It's a long-term contract, 10 years. It's indexed by the inflation rate, IPCA. So for this type of fuel, and with regard to the plant, we will then move from electricity, electrical energy to biomethane. But I believe that the other engines, they can be using other parts. So we can consider what is more viable from the financial standpoint, or we can also take part in some auctions, some specific auctions in which we can benefit from that plant that we have. Botão do Guararapes, more than 20 mega of installed capacity. Thank you. Our next question from Maíra Maldonado with XP. Maíra, your microphone is on. Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to commend you for the results achieved. I have two questions. First, can you provide more color about the 50% decrease in the waste volume of Taboraí when we compare 2021 to 2022? Will these levels be maintained in 2023, or was there something else that affected that decrease? And second, your strategy regarding green fertilizers, as mentioned by Pilão during the presentation. Hello, Mayra. Okay, so reg with regards to Itaboraí, Itaboraí is a landfill that we acquired, and it's located in the same region served by our São Gonçalo landfill. So, in order to increase its efficiency, and obviously your cost efficiency increases if you operate with a single landfill and not with two. And that was the decision that we made in August of 2022. So, we migrated the waste from Itaboraí to São Gonçalo. So we will see that for 2023, we are not going to receive waste in Itaboraí. Everything will migrate to the São Gonçalo landfill. So if you pay attention, you will see that São Gonçalo will present an increase. And that was done in order to increase our operating efficiency and also to increase savings. So you don't have two plants managing the same waste or in the same region. So we decided to keep everything in São Gonçalo and to keep Itaboraí for the future. So let's say that if in 10, 20 years, when the useful life of São Gonçalo decreases, then we can go back to Itaboraí. So you have some space reserved. And second, with regards to our joint venture in green fertilizers. So, in this first quarter, we signed this JV. So, it's a 50-50 agreement with a company that already produced fertilizers by using the composting of sludge coming from sewage treatment. We decided to work with this company because this company already had the expertise and knowledge and also their own brand of a green fertilizer. And when you consider what's going in the agribusiness and how they buy this kind of fertilizer. So although we own the sludge, We believe that we would expedite the learning curve by establishing this partnership rather than starting from scratch. So this joint venture affects only or includes only the Paulina Eco Park, where we have 15,000 tons of sludge per month. So what is the rationale? Today we receive this sludge, which is harmful to the landfill because it presents a high humidity, it generates more leachate, so its cost is higher. So in Paulínia, we will keep on receiving sludge, but rather on having that in a landfill, it will be then directed to this new plant that will start operations this year, where it's going to be transformed into fertilizer and sold to the market. So we will decrease the cost of having a landfill, and we will increase our revenue by selling this green fertilizer. The same rationale that we have for the other divisions. So we will carry out of this first transformation sludge into fertilizer so that we set a model that can be then replicated to all the other landfills of our company. Today's sludge is just buried, but we want to benefit from that. Okay, our next question. Myra, I don't know if you want to add anything. No, thank you very much, everyone. Our next question from Rosiane Oliveira. Congrats on your results. Can we expect major acquisitions in the short term? And as for growth plans, do you expect to build biomethane plants in 2023? Thank you, Rosiane. First, with regards to acquisitions, I'd like just to stress what I mentioned during the video conference. We will acquire just a small size companies. It will be opportunistic acquisition, so we don't want it to have a huge impact on our cash. So today, I'd say that we are studying two of such type of acquisitions, and we are assessing two other ones. So two are under due diligence phase. So we may have some acquisitions, but as I mentioned, opportunistic acquisitions of a small size unit, such as the one in Porto Velho. This is the type of units that we will focus on in 2023. Second question is about biomethane, right? Regarding having plants, biomethane plants in 2023. Yes, our business plan and our strategy is to start building Portugal. The quote and also qualification of vendors that has already happened. So we can now start to purchase orders to build our biomethane plants. So when we expect to have some orders sent to our Paulínia plant in April and for Pernambuco, June or July of 2023. So these are the plants that should be acquired in 2023. And that's what I mentioned that throughout this quarter, we will share our capital structure with you. What we will do in order to support our investment that will start in April of 2023. Okay, the Q&A session is now closed. Now I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Milton Pilon for his final remarks. Please go ahead, sir. Once again, I'd like to thank you for joining us. And once again, I'd like to express how thankful we are to our investors, our advisors, our board of directors, especially our employees. As I always say, they really show the strength of our culture, our resilience. So this company came out of a very complex turnaround, and today we are undergoing expedited growth. So at the end of 2021, we have now from 2021 to 2022, we saw the increase in the number of employees and the number of assets, and being able to integrate the units and to already demonstrate results, positive results after its integration, can only make me thank our employees. So thank you all, and thank you for joining us this morning. With that, we close Orizon's video conference call. We'd like to thank you for joining us and have a great day. Bye-bye.